If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to the Sun Seals tune Funky Bitch, covered and recorded by Blues Traveler for their forthcoming record, Traveler's Blues. For their upcoming album release, Blues Traveler were determined to do something different than just putting out another record like they had 3 years ago with Hurry Up and Hang Around. The band this time decided on a covers record, specifically with blues songs, going back to their roots of playing blues numbers 30 years ago. On July 30th, Traveler's Blues will be released. Let's pick up my discussion from the very beginning with Chan Kinchla, founding member and guitar player of Blues Traveler.
I'm so jealous of what you have behind you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm plaque flexing
no,
for you.
No, it's great. I love it. Oh, my God. There's the first record. That's awesome.
I do a bunch of Zooms with some younger musicians, and the poor kids from the last 20 years, there's not as many plaques. I was like, I had hits in the 90s, so I got lots of plaques. No one gets them anymore. No one's selling records like they used to.
I know.
Plus, I know the plaques they give for like most downloaded streaming song, it's just not the same.
No.
It's just not the same.
Wow. That's the first record all the way to the left. Oh, so good.
Yeah, we got Blues Traveler, Blues Traveler.
Travelers and Thieves?
Remember the name of Travelers and Thieves, Save His Soul. Straight on Till Morning, and then there's some.
You sold
these are cool because these are my own ones because I had kids and moved a lot, got all beat up, and these are all from my dearly departed dad. So he handed down, he kept them nice.
Wow!
So they have my dad's name on them, which I get a kick out of.
I still think amongst your work, for me at least, Travelers and Thieves is still my favorite record.
Oh, that's awesome. Travelers and Thieves was experimental. The cool thing about that album was, you know, Blues Traveler, Blues Traveler was all the stuff we've been doing in New York bars for a year.
Right.
So those songs were like tight and ready to go. And we basically just knocked those out in 10 days in our first in RPM Studios in New York City in 89. And so those are ready to go. And then we just toured like madmen for like literally 12 months. We were doing, you know, 300 shows a year at that point. And we had little bits and pieces, and we just went into the studio with a couple of weeks off and kind of banged that out. So it's a kind of disjointed, but I guess there's a charm in it. There's cool stuff on there for sure.
All in the Groove remains probably one of, I would say, the top five songs for me all time.
Awesome. Wow. That's a lot.
Like,
you know,
I quote it all the time.
We don't play that song a lot, but we get requested it all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe we should bring it back. We'll bring it back.
All right.
Once we figure out some of the new stuff,
yeah.
We'll bring that back.
Oh, great. So good to talk to you, Chan. It's been a while. We chatted. You were up in Toronto about 2 years ago now. It seems like, yeah, probably two summers ago. And thanks for taking the time again. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, man. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Travelers and Blues is the 14th full record. And by any standard, that's a heap ton of work over like a 30-year period.
Yes.
What made you decide to go back to the blues for this one?
Well, honestly, it's an idea we've been banging around for at least a decade. Whether it was to write our own blues songs or do something, I mean, we weren't really sure, but it keeps coming up, and then something else, you know, we go in and do an originals album or we tour, you know, lots of different things got in the way. But when the pandemic hit, we had just done a studio record the year previous, 2019, Hurry Up and Hang Around.
Yep.
So we had a lot of free time. We weren't really ready to dive into the epic journey that is an album of originals. We just and or didn't have the material or, you know, just,
yeah.
And to be honest, you know, it was such a weird, we were getting ready to go tour and everything and it kept getting put off, you know, as we were all there, it's like, oh, this is going to be a month or well, at least we'll get out in the summer. Okay. Maybe by the fall. And then slowly it started dawning on us that it might last a while, but you know, as it came out in drips and drabs. And then we had a great opportunity. Roundhill Recordings has all these licenses. And with our idea and our manager, we're like, you know, we should just record a couple. We were thinking of just doing a couple blues songs just to have something to do and to get them out. And the thing took on a life of its own at that point. As I like to say, you know, we started as a blues band, obviously Blues Traveler. And what we loved about the blues was how it was a great, it's the improvisation in it, you know, it's very simple, the magic comes from the emotional content and just the environment that you're in. So the idea of, you know, and that, and we obviously evolved from there, and the improvisational aspect is always something that's really driven us. But we, you know, when we were 15, 16, we couldn't really do a proper blues record. Some white kids from the Jersey suburbs. And it was great to get back and, you know, slow it all down and get back to kind of where our roots were. It was funny. It was all right there. We had just drifted very far from it. So it came really easily, actually.
I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the Blues Brothers were a heavy influence on you guys. Maybe more so on John because of the harp and because of that sort of sound that those guys had. But
indeed.
Is that right?
Actually, John plays harmonica because of the Blues Brothers.
Right.
When he was a kid, he was really into comedy and Saturday Night Live. And then obviously so he got into the Blues Brothers. And he plays harmonica because of Elwood Blues. That's what he liked, the comedy side, and then picked up the harmonica, and the rest is history. But, you know, I think all of us, and the name of the band was originally Blues Band, kind of based kind of loosely on that Blues Brothers, even before I got into it, when Brendan and John were just younger, 15 and 15. They did like a blues review that was basically kind of modeled on that Blues Brothers kind of type band. So yes, that was the early foundations of what the mess that it turned into. Once Bobby and I got in, it turned into a complete debacle.
And Aykroyd was a big supporter of you guys early on, if I remember correctly.
Well, he definitely has become a fan, yeah. and come to a bunch of shows and sat in with us. So, you know, we have a good relationship with him.
Great covers have always worked into your lineup, whether it's Devil Went Down to Georgia, which I think is the most played cover by you guys.
Oh, without a doubt, because it rocks every time.
Yeah.
And we do a cool version. You know, we do our own. It's our own style. So we kind of look at it as our own thing at this point.
Yeah, Low Rider, Gloria, No Woman, No Cry. What's weird, though, is amongst the group, there really is only a handful of blues covers in their repertoire up until now. And I can't really think of very many.
It's so odd. I don't know why we drifted away from what we started with. We have such varied interest. I think part of it's being self-conscious about being white kids from the suburbs. So it feels kind of off, but getting back to it and realizing we're actually pretty good at it. And we do have our own take on it. You know, it's honest to us, and that's what's most important. Those songs are going over great live. We just got back from a couple week run and, at Red Rocks and through the Midwest. Yeah. And we've been playing a bunch of these songs that are going over great. So it's honestly awesome to have that kind of element back in the set. And it's kind of giving us a little more dimension, which, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason. I don't know. It's kind of, it's refreshing. So we're enjoying it.
Yeah, I'm curious about how some of these songs made it to Traveler's Blues. I mean, there are obvious choices.
Me as well.
Funky Bitch is an obvious choice for you guys, I think. And it's been performed by your old horde friends Fish for a long time, and Sitting on Top of the World is a Grateful Dead classic that I know you guys were all into at a young age. So those have sort of lingered amongst your influences or your friends' influences. But Need Your Love So Bad and Trouble in My Mind. I mean, those are deep. Those are deep cuts. How do they get on this record?
I mean, for us, it was interesting. We, as most things, it was a glorious communal mess with Blues Traveler. We had a bunch of songs with Round Hill Recordings that they had licenses for, and that was kind of, you know, the. But there was probably like 1,000 songs, so we got it down to maybe 300, and then between the five members of the band, Josh, the owner of Round Hill Records, whose last name I forget, but I'm sure you could look it up, and our manager and Matt Rollins, who produced the record with us, who we worked with on our studio record, who we're great friends with, all just started kind of sending on the internet carousel short lists. And slowly but surely, you know, names, songs popped up, would come to the fore. And I have to give Matt Rollins credit for kind of paring it down with so, like a great producer, there's so many, like any record, there's so many voices involved. Someone has to make some final decisions. But once we got down to 20, 30 songs that a lot of people liked, I think it was up to him to kind of curate what would kind of make a nice cross-section of like more fun contemporary, you know, JJ Cale stuff with really old school stuff, like Need Your Love So Bad or whatever. The Sun Seals version of Funky Bitch was definitely kind of the one that we knew. I didn't even know until after the fact that Fish did a version of it. The Grateful Dead covered so many blues songs.
Yeah.
And made them, but very much made them their own, which, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the Grateful Dead songs they love are actually covers.
Yeah.
But we did typically find that when we, some of these songs, we would really would far prefer to go way back to the originals of them from the 30s and the 50s than the more contemporary kind of like English blues versions or whatever, which
right,
what just didn't really seem to us that the old school ones seemed so much more interesting and unique. And so that's what we would try and take it back as far as we could. And it was just a group effort. And like most things with a record, there's so many elements involved. You kind of just have to let the mystery unfold and be along for the ride, because there's so many different voices. And just stay curious and you see what you end up with. And this, you know, this process was a lot of fun, to be honest, because it was so outside what we had done in the wild.
But besides all the great curated cuts, there are some great players that join you on this record. Like the phenom Kingfish Ingram, who, you know, as a fellow guitar player, what wisdom could you impart to Kingfish?
Well, we weren't imparting any knowledge to Kingfish. I mean, the great thing about this record is we, you know, this was in the middle of the quarantine when we did this in September, yeah. October. So we would come in every day, tackle a song, work it up, and basically keep it really simple. What you're hearing are basically full takes. We didn't, you know, we would keep going until we had a really clean take that felt good and, you know, didn't need to be too clean. But, and then because it was during COVID, we had, you know, friends of ours and friends of Matt's and friends of Josh's, we kind of put out a large swath, but due to all the protocols and logistics, there was a lot of give and take. We weren't really sure what we could pull off. So I got to give Matt Rollins once again credit for tackling all that logistical, all the logistical challenges. So we had all these great tracks and pretty much finished, and we got to kind of sit back and wait for the finished products to come in with all these great guests and who could make it, who we could figure it out. And we're so thankful we got so many great people on here, but it was as much a treat for us to hear what they did to it. The fun part is to play live. You know, as we don't have these guests with us, I'm just stealing all these guitar players' licks and using,
right.
Doing my best attempt at them anyway. Stolen a few good things.
Yeah. You know, Warren Haynes is always, I think he's been a friend of yours going way back to the New York days. So that was an obvious fit, probably.
We met Warren when we opened up the Allman Brothers in 1990. He had just kind of signed on with them. So we've known him, and he's played with us and toured on Horde with us and been on albums. So we've known Warren 30 years now. That's crazy.
Rita Wilson also, like another, like out of the blue kind of collaboration, right?
She sounds great.
Yeah, really, really great.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah. Was it just a matter of, again, like you guys just leaving it up to Matt and Josh to kind of figure out some of these people? I mean, Keb Moe, I'm sure you've crossed paths with before.
Yeah.
Crystal Bauer Sox, I know. John has probably worked on some of her early records. So there are some things that are fairly obvious, but then there are things that, like, you know, you'd never know, like Warren the Treaty and stuff like that.
Yeah, Warren Treaty was, that was a Matt one. You know, like the song choice, it was a lot of friends of ours we kind of would reach out to, the many of which Matt knew and had worked with, because he's an amazing musician as well. So he's played on a million records, toured with a million bands. So we had a lot of overlap in our circle of friends. I think that really helped get these people in. Also, I think everyone was so bored, they wanted to do something.
Right.
Because we were all trapped at home, pretty much.
I'm curious about two other selections that are not traditional blues songs. The first one is The Doors' Roadhouse Blues, and I could imagine that you all grew up being huge Doors fans, so that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, we wanted to kind of have something from the classic rock milieu that was, you know, it's blue, it's a blues jam, but it just felt like it would be kind of a neat direction, you know, different color on the record.
And the other one, which is, well, Crazy, quite frankly, is Crazy. I mean,
it came out so cool. That one was just like this odd man out. We had the license, so we were kind of we thought it would be kind of cool to take something you wouldn't expect and kind of make it bluesy. And, you know, it came out really cool. We just actually did a version of it for Good Morning America, actually. Wow. And it plays great live. So, you know, we didn't want to do just 12 bars. We wanted to kind of give a little bit of dimension to the record. So a few wild cards, I think, that we did a bluesy blues traveler kind of vibe to, we thought would be a kind of a neat, you know, just to give the record a little bit more variety. Because if it's all, you know, we didn't want to just do 12 bars times 10.
Right. You guys are back on the road. As you said, you wrapped up a bunch of things. You played Red Rocks again for, I don't know, the zillionth time. Does
30th time.
30th time. Does that Something ever like get that. Old, playing that?
Are you kidding? Never. Never, ever. Especially after last year where we missed it.
Yeah.
It was like, and that was our first gig back, actually, which looking back was kind of crazy, but it was a great kickoff to getting back to normal.
So you're back on the road. You're working some of these songs, obviously, into set lists you can. And you're having fun, right? I mean, you guys are having fun again. Like, this is a ton of fun for you guys.
Well, we've been having fun the whole time. But as I tell people, the more I do it, the more I like it.
Yeah. That's great. You guys released two newer versions of Hook and Runaround that you kind of reworked. Is that right?
Yes. That was actually more just that we had re-record rights. And so we just did, it was kind of a fun process to try and recreate those classic 80s sounds with gated drums and, you know, finding old guitars that sounded like the guitars I had back then. And so that was kind of a fun little project, but mainly we just had re-record rights. So it was something cool to kind of keep it more in our control than, so it was a financial thing as much as anything.
Right.
I think they made it pretended that it was an exciting new release, but that's the honest way.
I know that this record has just come out or is just coming out, but I'm sure you're always working up originals, and I know that there's a solo John record coming out, but are you still working up originals too that you're playing?
We're always working on ideas. I wrote a ton of stuff during the pandemic as I was sitting around playing my guitar all day, every day, which was actually fabulous, to be honest. I hadn't played like that since I was in like high school, maybe ever. I played that as much as I had. It was like I was a kid again, figuring out Jimmy Page solos and, you know, cool new mode, practicing different modes and cool bluegrass stuff, whatever.
Cool.
Trying to figure out Jerry Garcia solos and all kinds of stuff. So we have a ton of new stuff written. I'm sure we'll get back in the studio at some point and do a new original. Those things take their own kind of momentum to kind of get going. So it just kind of, you just have to wait till it gets the critical mass and then go all in, into the breach.
Is it easier now to do this without the pressure of a monster hit and a record late, like a huge record label on your ass? Is it more fun? Is it less fun? Is it just easier?
It's just different. I mean, it was such a different era back then. I mean, there wasn't, people have so much more access now to everything, which is a great thing. But it means everything's a little more niche and stratified. And back then it was, you know, you're trying to get through this tiny little pinhole and see if you could sneak through there.
Yeah.
And if you got through, then everyone heard it on the radio and MTV on whatever. So it's just a very different market. You know, we were always just playing live, and touring was always kind of our main focus and what we wanted to do when we were playing in Brendan's basement.
Yeah.
Of course, doing the albums and everything is a great, something we really love to do, but that was kind of came along with it. And, you know, as long as we get to continue to play live and, you know, the new songs are just something new we can play live. So really we would have been happy and are happy with that. The record side of things is just kind of to support the live thing, really, which is a strange, you know, strange thing to say. It was fun back in the 90s. It was a whole different world, you know, trying to, the bigger budgets, big studios, months and months, tons of record people. I mean, a lot of ways it was a huge hassle, but it was a little more amplified and exciting too, each record. So, you know, it's hard to say. It's just such a different era, the way people consume music now. And both are cool. Both are really, really cool. I think there was a lot more mystique and mystery and kind of glamour to it back in the 90s and 80s. But I do love the access and the kind of cool platform there is for a lot of different niche artists and different things that would probably never see the light of day back in the 90s. So they both have their cool aspects.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been a fan since literally day one, and it's so great that you guys are still performing and still having a great time and still killing it. Like, everything I hear still sounds so incredible, whether it's live or even this new record. So kudos to you guys for hanging on and being so tight, and congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, I never used to be that much into like the longevity thing, but now that it's been this long, and especially after Corona, I'm like, you know, it's kind of crazy. We've kept the train on the tracks for all these years. And, you know, we're really just enjoying it as much as we can. And it's really just the crowds that come out and see us that make it all possible. And that's, like I said, what we've always loved the most is the live shows. And as long as we get to keep doing that, we'll keep moving forward.
Awesome. Thanks, dude. Thanks for the memories, and thanks for the new stuff. And let's keep it going another 30 years at least. All right.
Sounds like a plan. Thanks, Ira.
For more information on Blues Traveler, including tour dates, more information on Traveler's Blues and merch, visit bluestraveler.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of Traveler's Blues. Here is the classic Ball and Chain featuring Christian Kingfish Ingram on guitar. Babe, clamped onto me like a pole.
said, baby, why you wanna do these mean old things to me? I said, baby, why you wanna do these mean old things to me? Cause you know I love you, darling, and I'm sick of living in misery. You know my love for you holds me like a ball and chain. You know my love for you, baby, like a ball and chain. You know what you mean, you know how. I just don't wanna go insane. I don't wanna go insane. Everything gotta happen to me. Baby, 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 baby. Why's everything gotta happen to me? You know my love.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.